Amen. What a blessing to gather together and worship our great God. Amen. Amen. Hey, I don't know if you know it or not, but today is Super Bowl Sunday. And you know, as you think of the Super Bowl, you have these two teams, and not very often, in fact, it's been a long time since we've had an Ohio team in the Super Bowl, but you know, you would think that the game was played by just two guys, the quarterbacks, right? And they're key players in the game, no doubt, but they'll show a picture of each of the teams, and they'll have a picture of the quarterbacks, as if they're the ones that's playing against each other. And they are, but the quarterback is the wise quarterback realizes that he has a whole team that helps him play the game, right? I mean, he needs an offensive line that's going to protect him. And he needs receivers that are going to catch the ball when he throws the ball. He has running backs who run the ball when he hands the ball off to them. He has a defensive line that it has to keep the other team from scoring a bunch of points, or more points than he does, or his team does, right? So everybody has a role, everybody has a part. The wise quarterback realizes it takes a team in order to get the job done and win the game, right? We're going to see that today. Earlier this week, I met with a representative. His name is Matt Swenson from Samaritan's Purse. And Samaritan's Purse is a disaster relief organization headed up by Franklin Graham. And we have been involved in Samaritan's Purse through giving and toward disaster relief. And one of the things that has impressed me, or that impressed me in talking with this representative, Matt Swenson, was the importance of teamwork. And the idea is that there's no one person can provide the relief, the cleanup, the rebuilding that is necessary after the likes of, back in 2005, I had opportunity to go to Thailand right after the tsunami of day after Christmas, 2004. We had a team of us that went to Thailand to do some teaching toward counseling and then setting up a counseling center in the affected area. And at that time, we saw Samaritan's Purse there already, rebuilding, giving supplies as churches pulled together and were involved. No one person could do that. No one person can rebuild and provide relief for after the likes of the hurricanes that have hit our shores. No one person can do all the cleanup that was needed for the tornadoes and still is needed for the tornadoes that ripped through Kentucky and surrounding areas, right? It can't be done. It takes a team. It takes a bunch of people. And one thing that impresses me about Samaritan's Purse is that they're just simply a conduit through which churches can minister in that way. And what excites me about their ministry is they do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they do it by giving the gospel, not just providing relief and rebuilding, but they do it by sharing the gospel as well, building into people's lives. There are all kinds of disaster relief organizations out there, but one thing that makes Samaritan's Purse distinct is they do it in the name of Jesus, by the giving of the gospel. But it takes a team. It takes everyone pulling together in order to accomplish those kinds of things. As we continue this morning in our study through the book of Philippians, a book of joy regardless of circumstances, this morning we're going to be talking about ministry teamwork, working together in ministry. And you find teamwork emphasized in today's text. So if you're not already there, turn to Philippians chapter 1. We're looking at verses 3 through 8. See if you can detect the teamwork here. I think you will. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We heard about that this morning, didn't we? Just the emphasis there. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for y'all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I think Paul was a Southerner, right? With all the y'alls in there. So here's our take-home thought this morning, and that is just simply, ministry takes teamwork. Ministry takes teamwork. You probably identified that the teamwork that was evident in this passage. We noticed last week that Paul humbly included Timothy, being with him while he was writing the Philippians from prison, right? He includes Timothy in this. And in today's text, he highlights the role that the Philippian believers played in the support of his ministry. We're going to learn more of that as we go through our study throughout the book of Philippians. But how interesting to discover the emphasis of teamwork here in a book that focuses upon joy, right? It's a book of rejoicing. And yet he focuses on teamwork here in this passage. And I don't think that's by accident, because I believe that you find great joy in ministry when you purpose to work together, right? When you put it in your mind, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about my work and what I do. It's about every one of us pulling together to accomplish this work to the glory of God. Amen? It's not about any one person. And Paul made this clear. He recognized this. He makes this clear. But we do all of this while focusing on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of things that can distract us from the gospel. It would have been easy for Paul to merely languish in prison, simply waiting for the day that sometime, man, I'm going to bust out of here, and then the gospel is going to flourish through my ministry. That could have been his attitude. Oh, I just can't wait to get out of here. You know, when is this all going to, God help me, when's this all going to be over? Well, that wasn't the case. The ministry flourished even while he was in prison, because the focus of his life and ministry was on the gospel. And that's what we need. That's what we need to make sure is central to our lives in ministry as well. And he recognized that the gospel, with the partnership of the Philippian believers, could thrive even while in prison. And so I think we can learn from this. I think we can take great joy as we pull together as a church and ministry in partnership with the gospel to accomplish all that God would have us to do to his glory. But the question is, how did Paul view the value of partnership, and how can we do this? All right, so we're going to look at four distinctions of effective ministry teamwork this morning. Four distinctions of effective ministry teamwork. And the first one is found in verses 3 and 4. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. They were laboring together in prayer. Laboring together in prayer. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Paul he's writing to the Philippians, telling them he remembers them before God in prayer. First of all, we see as we look at this that his prayer is directed to God. That may seem obvious to us, maybe, in a Christian church, right? That prayer should be to God. But in that culture, it may not have been quite as obvious. And he makes it clear that his prayer was directed to Almighty God. He says, I thank my God. It's important that when we go to the Lord in prayer, and that when we do that, our prayers are directed to him, the God of all creation. Why? Well, John 15:5 says, Jesus is writing and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. We just sang about the importance of Christ being magnified in us. It's not about us. It's all about him. May Christ be magnified in us as we abide in him and he in us. And if we do that, he it is that bears much fruit. For or because Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. How essential it is for us to go before him in prayer regarding anything and everything, right? We need to do that personally and as a ministry as well. And he directs this to God. The Lord is the head of the team. If we don't get that right, we're just spinning our wheels. We may be getting a lot of energy expended out there, but if it's not to the glory of God, and if it's not his initiative, it's for nothing, right? So he directs this prayer to God. He should be the primary initiative of any endeavor. Is this what God would have us to do? And this prayer is focused upon God and what he has done. The team is formed because of what God has done in the hearts of each member of the team. It starts with Paul, right? God had done a work. God had done a work in his life, calling him to himself on the road to Damascus, blinded by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God and the Lord Jesus had a plan for him to do, and he was fulfilling that plan. God transformed this murderer, this persecutor of the church, into an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did a work in Timothy's life, Paul and Timothy, and he came to Christ as a child, all right? But God did a work. God had done a work in the lives of the Philippian believers. It starts with God. He's the primary initiative of any endeavor. It starts from him working in our hearts. And without him, we can do nothing. And the prayer is focused upon God and what he has done. And the team is formed because of what God had done in their hearts. And so even as a church and as a ministry, how about you? We could say, oh man, this church, we can do great things and get all kinds of things accomplished, but not apart from Jesus Christ. And it starts in your heart, in your heart, in your heart, in your heart. It's not just a matter of going out there and getting things done. We must do it in the name of Jesus and because of what he has done for us in our hearts and lives. Has he done that for you? Have you allowed him to work in your life? Have you surrendered to him for your eternal salvation? Because there are a lot of initiatives out there that you can get out there and you can do a lot of humanitarian kinds of things and help all kinds of people do all kinds of things. You can come alongside and help people. And that's all great and that's all good. And I don't want to minimize that, but if we don't do it in the name of Jesus because of what he's done in our lives, and it doesn't matter what kind of work you're in, are you doing it in the name of Jesus? Have you ever thought about that? Are you working in your, wherever you work and whatever you do, are you doing it to the honor and glory of God? And some of you are retired. Are you living your retirement years to the honor and glory of God? Have you ever thought about that? You see, it starts in his work in our hearts, in our lives, as a result of salvation through Jesus Christ. Are you certain of that? If you're not, my friend, we want you to come to Jesus today. Because Jesus literally transforms your life and makes it into what he desires it to be as you surrender to him because of what he did through his son Jesus, who died on the cross, was buried and rose again. That's the gospel. So we're not talking about just, you know, pulling together to get something done because that's just what needs to be done, you know. We're doing it in the name of Jesus and to his glory. And so as a church and as a ministry, we need to make sure that every endeavor, every undertaking that we have is, as we like to say, bathed in prayer, right? That we're praying about what God would have us to do. Not doing it in our own strength, but in the strength of Almighty God that, to whom we are praying. We also see here that it was a prayer of thankfulness. He says, I thank my God. The appreciation indicates a humility. It's acknowledged that someone has done something for you. The Philippian believers had supported Paul in his ministry. We're going to learn in chapter 4, we're going to learn this throughout the book, but Paul was in part writing to them, thanking them for their involvement in his work and his ministry. They gave to him, they supported him financially. Chapter 4, we learn of that. We obviously prayed for him, so they were involved in his ministry there. In chapter 2, you're going to learn that they sent a man from their congregation by the name of Epaphroditus to help Paul while he was in prison, kind of like Timothy did and visited him in prison. Epaphroditus was there, and lo and behold, Epaphroditus got sick too. They may have been wondering, what's going on? I haven't heard. Part of the purpose of this letter was to communicate, hey, Epaphroditus, he was sick, and he was concerned for you guys, but he's good. He's going to come back to you. My point there is that Paul was thanking them for the significant role that they had in his ministry. And it was not just his ministry. It was a ministry that was shared. And so my point there is we need to be expressing appreciation for one another, right? We all have a role. We all have a part. We talked about that back in January, that each member has a part in the body. And that's so important. And so, it's a prayer of thankfulness. His prayer indicates engagement and involvement. Look at verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you all. He remembered them. He didn't take them for granted. He says, every time I pray for you, I remember you and the significance of your ministry to me and for the Lord. And I think remembering one another and being involved with one another in prayer is an indication that we're in this together, that we don't take one another for granted. So there's involvement there. But his prayer also is expressed with joy. Making my prayer with joy. When Paul prayed for them, he prayed with joy in his heart. Even while he was in what? Prison. You know? God, thank you for these people who are involved in my ministry, in my life, in the ministry of the gospel through the work that's going on here, even while I'm in prison. He was joyful in the midst of that difficult circumstance. And the very thought of them brought joy to his heart so that he prayed for them with joy. And again, I think the ministry of FBC must be immersed in prayer. All aspects, all parts of our ministry, that we pray. We make sure we're praying. We had in our adult Bible study this morning, that took some time for prayer and for one another. But on Wednesday nights, we have a group that comes together. We have prayer and Bible study. And what I like to do is I like to have the prayer first because in my years of ministry, I've been to some churches and some ministries where they have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, right? And so the pastor gets up and takes a few prayer requests and say, "Okay, we'll pray at the end of our time together, but let's get into the Word. We'll study the Word." And what does the pastor do? Oftentimes, he talks a little too long, right? And that wasn't funny. But anyway, wasn't supposed to be. No. But anyway, the pastor goes, oh my goodness, time's got away from us. Let's just close in prayer and we'll have to go. Make sure you remember these things, right? But I just like the idea of the church coming together. There's a specific time where the church comes together where we pray together corporately for our church and for one another. We have the prayer reminder. If you don't know what that is, we have it out on the Welcome Center out there. It's usually a very colored sheet of paper. It's our prayer reminder. We like to pray about the things there. We like to pray about our church and pray about our ministry. And oftentimes on Wednesday nights, I'll say, if we don't pray for our church, who will? Right? And so that's a wonderful time. And I'm not saying that if Wednesday nights are inconvenient for you and you can't do that, that's the only time you can pray for the church and ministry. But I'm just asking you, I'm telling you about that time where we come together and we spend a significant amount of time in prayer. Not all the prayers are short. Some are quite long. That's okay. And then I'll say, okay, well, with the time left, let's get into the Word. And we're having a rich study in the Word as well. But it's kind of a sausage study. That is, we can cut it off at any time and come back to it, right? But an emphasis on the Word. Let's bathe our ministry in the Word of God and prayer. And that's a great time to do that. So we labor together in prayer. Second distinction of effective ministry teamwork is laboring together in the gospel. He says, again in verses 3 and 4, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. What he's doing here is he's recognizing partnership in the work. The word partnership there is and maybe you've heard this, it's koinonia. It has the idea of fellowship, togetherness, participation. It's the working together. This is where I get the idea of teamwork, as we have here in the text. And Paul considered the Philippians as having this significant role in his ministry. They were partners with him. And we'll, again, learn more of that support as we go through the study. And I've referenced it briefly just a few moments ago. But we all must think about that in light of the ministry here at FBC. Each member has a part. Each member has a part. We must work together. And part of that is allowing those who have a specific role to do their part. And we, if they have a part, then we encourage them in their part, as opposed to interfering with their work. Ministry takes teamwork, working together. So we recognize the partnership. But in doing though, we're keeping ministry focused upon the gospel. Again, we're not just getting things done. We're not just making sure that everything looks right and runs right. The focus is on the gospel. The focus, the importance is the message. And I'm not talking about just the preaching message, although that should be there, right? The gospel should be in that and behind that and through that. But I'm talking about the message that goes forth from all that we do. And so we keep ministry focused on the gospel. That's important. That's what Paul was doing. He talks about the partnership in the gospel. And so he considered that partnership gospel-oriented. And I think as we look at this, this is where we've talked about here in recent days, personal preferences. And I think this is where personal preferences must take a back seat. The gospel ministering the gospel effectively and faithfully must not be eclipsed by anything else. It must be forefront. And we must minister together, knowing that the gospel is not only central to the ministry of the church, but it's central to our own hearts and lives. It would be easy to say, we need to make sure that the church is, the ministry of the church is, the gospel is central to any aspect of the ministry of the church. And most all of us would say, amen to that, right? But is it central to your life? Right? Is the gospel the focal point of your life? It would be hard for it to be evident and genuine and real in and through the ministry of the church if it was not genuine and integral to us personally, right? It's got to start in our own hearts. And as everyone makes the gospel integral to the and essential to our hearts, man, there's no stopping a ministry focus on the gospel. And he points out that it's from the beginning until now. He says, he talks about the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They were partners with him in the ministry of the gospel ever since they first knew of Paul. They got involved in his life and his ministry and his work, and it continued. What a blessing when we know ministry continues, right? Which brings me to the third distinction of effective ministry teamwork, and that is laboring together for the long haul. Laboring together for the long haul. Paul says, and we heard beautiful ministry and music earlier, I'm sure of this. Paul was confident that he who began a good work in you, since the day that God saved them, the start of that good work in them, that he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. You know, God would continue his sanctifying work in their lives up to the point where they would stand before Jesus. Are you convinced of that? Amen. That God is at work in you to grow you, to mature you in Jesus' name, in because of Jesus and your salvation in Jesus, that work continues. It's not just, okay, I trusted Christ, it's done. Whew, got that taken care of and go on with the rest of life. No, Paul was convinced that God was going to continue to do that work. And the reason Paul could be confident in the effectiveness of his teamwork, this teamwork effort, was because God is the one who began the work. All right? It goes back to we can't do anything apart from him. God was the one who began the work. I believe in a God-centered salvation. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. It is God who works in us. We're going to learn this in chapter 2. God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Our salvation is kept in heaven for us, not by us. A God-centered salvation. Now, it's interesting. Look at this passage. And this is one, Pastor Nate, this is one of those verses to which you referred to last week. I don't know if you remember, if you knew that or not. But but Pastor Nate said, when he was introducing the book for us, he said, you know, there are some of these verses that you're going to hear, we're going to study, that we quote, and this is one of those verses, you know, that he who began I'm confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And we're excited about that because we know that's a promise of God. He's going to do that. And that's true. We love this verse personally. And it's a truth that applies to us personally. But it's very interesting that Paul was writing this to a church. So that it's true, not just personally, but corporately. He points this out. He who began a good work in you. And he's talking about the congregation in Philippi. God started a work there. And he was going to continue that work in and through that church and ministry for as long as God desired for that work to continue. And the ministry should not be a fly-by-night, flash-in-the-pan kind of a thing, right? Ministry, we should be in this for the long haul, through the thick and the thin, through the ups and the downs, through the challenges and the mountains and the valleys, right? Why? Because he who began a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. We're in it till he's done with it. And as we think of it in our own lives, we know he's at work in our hearts until he comes to take us to be with him or until he returns, till the point at which we will stand before God. That's just encouraging to me as I think about the ministry here and what God is doing here and what God wants to continue to do, what he has done, what he continues to do, and what he will do. He's begun a good work. And to continue and be committed to that work till the day of Jesus Christ. And the reason that ministry effectiveness would continue is because God is the one who is going to bring it to completion. It's in his hands. And you and I were just mere instruments in this, in his hands to accomplish his work. So the duration of that work is determined by God, which would be completed at the day of Jesus Christ. I think the most effective ministries are ministries that are focused upon God, the gospel, for the long haul. Praise God for FBC. A ministry that was established in 1834. For some of you new folks, you may not realize that. This church was established back in Johnny Appleseed days. All right? And get this, it was a church plant from across the river in the area called Staunton. They thought, you know what, there needs to be a church in Troy. And so they planted a church in Troy. First Baptist Church. We literally were the first Baptist church in Troy. And ever since, we've been here ever since and continued as a ministry to the people of Troy. If we lose sight of the gospel, if we say it's more about us and our country club than being a hospital to hurting people, we've lost the focus of the gospel. It needs to be about him, with a focus on the gospel. And by the way, and when we do that, we can thank God, just like Paul did, with hearts of joy and praise. With hearts of joy and praise. Here's a final distinction of effective ministry teamwork, and that is laboring together with a focus on Jesus. Hebrews 12, you're familiar with Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we need to do. The focus on God, the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. You see, his grace is the glue that holds us together. Look at verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. It was right for Paul to have this heartfelt spirit of joy with them, for you are all partakers with me of grace. Paul's like, it's not about me. In fact, it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Because we don't deserve this. We're sinners. We're lost for eternity without Him. And by His love and grace, He chose to save us. And because of that, we serve Him out of grateful hearts. And we're partakers with Him because of the God. They were partakers with Him because of the gospel, as well as the ongoing grace, need for more grace. See, grace isn't a matter of saving us, but by grace we continue in that grace. And what He continues to do in our hearts and lives, we just learned some of that just a few moments ago, right? It's all by grace. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve that He didn't just get us started and send us on our way, but He, at every moment along the way, He ministers His grace to our hearts and lives. We don't deserve that. He says, "You are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment," while He was in prison, "and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel," the ministering of the gospel. They had a part in His ministry. "For God is my witness." God knew Paul's heart and attitude toward them. "How I yearn for you all." He longed for them with the affection of Jesus Christ. He had the heartfelt feelings of sympathy with them. To feel with them concerning their relationship with Jesus. And because of Jesus, because of a focus on Jesus, there's a joy in gospel ministry, even with shared adversity. Paul was the one who was in prison, right? He was the one who was in prison, and yet they shared in that adversity. They were concerned about him. Here's Paul, man, we love this guy. We've heard him preach, and he's been here before, and now he's in prison, and so they prayed for him. And they sent money, financial support to him. And they even sent it with their friend Epaphroditus. They loved him. They cared for him. They were partnering together with him while he was in prison. And because of a focus on Jesus, there's joy because of a common identity in Jesus. We talked about our identity in Christ last week, right? It was mentioned in adult Bible study this morning. Hey, I'm a saint. Whew, wow, isn't that something? Can you believe it? We're saints. That's your identity in Christ. And there's that common identity in Christ. I mentioned this, the tsunami relief. I had opportunity to go to Thailand. And then several years later, I went to China and a couple trips to China and ministering and biblical truths and counseling and so on. It is amazing, and some of you know this, right? You've been on missions trips, or maybe you've just gone to another church on vacation, but it's amazing how you can go to a different church, even in a different culture, instant friends, right? I mean, they just loved on us, and it just made it very easy to love them back, right? And how did that happen? Because of who we are in Christ. Right? It was because of the fact that we are saints just as they are saints. And they just pulled us in. And that's the reality of what we have here at FBC, right? The love and care and understanding that we're all sinners saved by grace. We don't deserve it. That's what grace is. But because of that, there's common bond. And because of that, we work together as a team. And ministry is most effective when we work together. Laying aside differences, even preferences, and focus on that which really matters, the Lord Jesus and His gospel. And there's joy in teamwork, because much is accomplished to the glory of God, right? There's joy in teamwork. This is the tenor of this the spirit of this prayer is an encouragement, is joy. And when we do that, there's great joy in the work in the ministry as each part does its work. I'm just going to take a moment. I think about our worship services. And I think of the planning that goes into it. I've mentioned that I've been involved in the planning and the seriousness by which those on the planning team take this endeavor. It's not just, okay, what songs are we going to sing? You know, come on, we've got to get through this. We get together and we spend several hours planning what we have here. And so I thank the planning team for doing that. And then there's the instrumentalists and the vocalists. They go through, and not just in a rehearsal, but even through the week, they spend time on that. The audiovisual, the team that does all of that. We have the ushers, we have the greeters, and there are needs in those areas. We need more people to step up and help us out. I think of our life groups and all that goes into a life group. And the planning and the preparation and just providing snacks and which brings me to our hospitality. You know, man, we used to say we love our food at Baptists. Can't dance, but we love our food, right? But man, what an awesome ministry that the hospitality team. They just really stepped up to the plate and they provide the coffee. Coffee doesn't just automatically happen. There's somebody that needs to get it done. It takes a team. And now there was a good team. I heard a good group that was meeting on Friday to help. How many churches, you know, have the fresh Danish? I mean, Mike, that's awesome, right? They prepare the meals. Everybody has a part. And again, thinking not just to make the Baptists happy, right? But it provides for fellowship and the connecting with one another. It's important. Everybody has a role. Everybody has a part. I think of our, and I'm going to take too much time if I elaborate on all of these, but I think of our ladies' ministries and all that they do through quilts. They just handed me a quilt for my dad this morning. Here, this was for your dad. What a blessing. They do comfort kits. They wrap bandages. They meet once a month and do a whole bunch, but there are other ladies that get everything together so that those ladies can get that much done in that period of time. I think of the laundry ministry. We actually have a ministry to help people get their laundry done. How awesome is that? People of the community. Think of our children's ministry. Do you realize VBS is already scheduled and they're starting to plan Vacation Bible School for this summer? It takes a team. Think of our children's ministries and all that goes on in our glow and blast areas. I think of our Ignite team and just thinking of them even this morning and thanking them for their work in youth ministry. Think of our deacons. I think of the ministry teams, operations, worship, and discipleship and outreach. Think of our support staff, our office, the ladies in the office, and our treasurer, our custodians, our maintenance individuals, and our ministry to shut-ins, our connections ministry. I also think of, there may be some of you who are here and you think, you know, I have certain limitations, but your faithful giving allows for all of this to continue. Thank you for your faithful giving. And as we say, we have the offering receptacle out here. We don't pass the offering plate, but we have it out here. Thank you for your faithful giving. What a blessing. But what about prayer? Did you ever think of that? I've talked about that this morning, but did you ever think of that as a ministry? And as a part of the ministry? It's a significant part. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. It takes a team. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that in all of these things, which I've rehearsed here just moments ago, is all dependent upon you. And Father, I confess that there are times when I just don't pray sufficiently for the work of the ministry. But we're reminded here today that every aspect of this ministry needs to be bathed in prayer, because we are desperately dependent upon you. And may we see that the ministry is not about us. It's all about you and your gospel.